intimate, no longer alone. With my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Let's see who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Woo!
Pajam Thriller. I'm not gonna be afraid no more.
Oh, no, no. kind of change is going down, 'cause I feel so lonely when you're not.
WJBR Internet Radio Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Twisted in your hands and your lips and your tongue trick. Yes.
Okay, it's me and you on this show, and I don't believe, you know what, let me just, nope, according to this, the show is over, and I know my mom's on here, because she called in at the top of the show.
Uh-huh.
And right now, it's just me and you. I'm going to try something right here. I'm going to try to dial into the show, and if not, we're just going to have to end it. And so 347-996, hold on, let's try it again. 347-9, what am I doing? Hold on. I get upset, I get nervous, and I mess up. So
yeah,
I'll explain
no, that's why.
What's going on to everybody who might be listening remotely to the show. I just dialed in. And I hear the prompt. And it's saying that the show has not yet started, and that's because this show is technically over already, which of course is painful because we have two phenomenal guests scheduled to call. Let me try one other thing. There is a host call-in number, and maybe if that works, then I can give them that number to call. Otherwise, we're going to have to try to reschedule with them. Okay, it's asking me to punch in another number. Okay, let me play a song and then don't move, Therese. We're going to try to make it do what it do. I'm going to do the best I can.
Okay.
Just hold tight. Thank you.
Check it out. On the boulevard, I landed. We used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract,
and me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the Frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine that we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
A tidbit, a spidgin. I don't get the message, so you got to
okay.
Run the pigeon.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
So then grab the microphone and let your words rip.
Now here's a funky introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer cause you see I last long. My crew is never ever whack because we stand strong. Now if you say my style is whack, that's where you're dead wrong. I slay that body and El Segundo then push it along. You'll be a fool to reply the Fife is not the man. Cause you know and I know that you know who I am. A special shout out piece goes out to all my pals you see. And a middle finger goes for all you punk MCs. Cause I love it when you whack and MCs despise me. They get vexed, I will next and none can test me. I'm just a fly MC who's 5'3" and very brave. On top remaining, no home training cause I misbehave. I come correct and full effect of all my holes in check. And before I get the butt, the gym must be a wreck. You see my aura's positive, I don't promote no junk. See I'm far from a bully and I ain't a punk. Extremity of rhythm, yeah that's what you heard. So just clean out your ears and just check the word.
Check the time.
And the presence was fitting. It was I, the Viper.
And me, the abstract. The rhymes were so rumpin' that the brothers wrote the Zach.
Hey, yo, Tip, do you recall when we used to rock?
What?
Those fly routines on your cousin's block?
Let me see. Damn, I can't remember. I received the message and you will play the same.
You're on point, Tip.
All the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
Yeah, all the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
You're all the time, Fife.
So play the Resurrector and give the dead some life.
Okay, if knowledge is the key, then just show me the lock. Got the scrawny legs, but I move just like Lou Brock with speed. I'm agile, plus I'm worth your while. 100% intelligent black child. My opera presentation sizzles the retina. How far must you go to gain respect? Well, it's kind of simple. Just remain your own, or you'll be crazy, sad, and alone. Industry rule number 4080. Record company people are shady. So kids watch your back, cause I think they smoke crack. I don't doubt it, look at how they act. But often better things like a hip-hop forum. Pass me the rock and I'll score them with the quorum. And proper, what you say, hammer? Proper, rap is not pop. If you call it that, then stop.
You're listening to WJBR Internet Radio, Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. Here's a little Melba Moore with a new song, actually, by Melba Moore and Miss Shirley Murdoch called Call Me.
When you're down and out and you need a
Yeah.
heaven. And the load feels too hard to bear.
WJBR Internet Radio, Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. How's it going, Rez?
It is going wonderful. I think I got Ron Richardson on the line with us here.
Well, you know,
hey, good
what?
Morning, ladies.
Let me just say this. You know what, Ron? I want to thank you, number one, for coming on, and thank you, number two, for being such a gentleman, a sweetheart, a guy with a sense of humor in this crazy, crazy world. I think that you are doing a wonderful job working what the work that I've seen you do with Miss Melba Moore as a fan who sees Miss Moore as like family and royalty. I appreciate you and the way I believe you take care, I know you take care of her, because once upon a time, a long time ago, I sent the initial idea of a promo flyer that I was going to do, and you corrected me, and I didn't even think about what you saw, and I saw it, and I was like, oh my God, you're so right. This is not right. You take care of her. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do and for saying yes to us today and for dealing with us. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, honey.
Well, thank you for all of those kind words, Devonnie. I was trying to figure out who you were talking about.
You know what? You are just a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. When I think of you, Ron, actually the first words that comes to mind is gentleman. That's the first word. And kind is another word. And then I think a little bit further and I smile because you have a great sense of humor.
Well, thank you. And that's basically because of my upbringing and, you know, basically, you know, the way that I was raised. And it was always a treat people kind. And, you know, that's always stuck with me.
Wow.
And I'm sure it is absolutely needed in this business that you are in. And for those of you who have just tuned in, this is Ron Richardson, and he is the long-term manager of Melba Moore. And we're going to talk to Ron today about what it takes in this industry, some of the trends that he has seen from now to when he started, and why this particular road for you, Ron, and how that came about, too.
I'm sure. Okay. You want me to start?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, basically what it is, I've always been around entertainment because my father was a singer. He was in a group called the Valentines.
Oh.
And my mother, she was a singer also. And I was, you know, basically like I come from a musically inclined family, but no one in the family never really made it but my father. But I always enjoyed music. And so as I got older, I got into the part of being a booking agent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was fun, but I always saw how managers really treated the artist.
Mm.
And I was working for the city at the time that I was doing that. I was working two jobs. And I decided, well, I want to become a manager, but I really didn't know how to do it because I was a booking agent. I would book the entertainers, but I wasn't managing them. And I actually used to go to the place called the Sugar Bar, and I had was friends with Valerie and Nick, and they had told me that Melba Moore needed a manager. And I said, well, I'm fearless, and I'll say I'm willing to take on a task. So they gave me a phone number. I gave her a call, and the first job that I booked for us was in Jamaica. And that was 16 years ago in November, and it's been a long, long road since then. And I left my city job and never looked back. So
wow.
Obviously, I was skilled to do it, and I actually learned a lot from Melba, too.
Nice, nice. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And in your managerial capacity, what I noticed, and I'll separate for a second from Javon because she may not share the same opinion. So I just want to, that's a little disclaimer, Jay.
You know, that rarely happens, Therese.
Rarely
happens. Now I'm waiting with bated breath to see what you're going to say.
Well, I'm gonna make an observation about management today versus management of today I find that a lot of people can call themselves managers.
Right.
And without the, and I know that everybody has to start somewhere, so I just want to put that out there too. But sometimes the managerial skills are not where they need to be to manage someone's career, because in a management arena, you know, from my thinking of managers, that is a large task because it's basically someone's livelihood. Would you not agree?
I would totally agree.
Okay.
And basically, you have to, as a manager, it's not about you as a manager. It's about the artist. And you basically have to get to know the artist that you're managing, what they're capable of doing and what they're doing, and you have to plug into their actually arena. You just can't give yourself the title, oh, I'm a manager. Okay, you're a manager, but now how do you manage what you have? You know, like, you know, for instance, Melba, she's like I would call a triple threat because she's not just playing R&B. She's just not playing jazz. She's just not playing gospel. She's not just theater. She's not movies. So if one isn't calling, well, then you reach out to everybody and you just keep that consistent. And Melba's,
yeah,
her main base is she's, you know, her first love is singing. So you're always going to get something doing on a job singing. You may not get a movie deal, Okay, but you have a skill. Continue to do your concerts, do your shows, put out your music. Eventually, something is going to click somewhere in that, you know, in that arena. Oh, well, she's out there. She's doing this. She's got a new album. Oh, guess what? We just saw her in a new Christmas movie last week. And they don't know how, you know, basically how this is done. It's an art to it.
Right. You know, and shout out to the Christmas movie, because I was watching it and I was so happy to see her. You have no idea how happy I was to see her mixed in everything, because, you know, like you said, Melba is a quadruple threat and has always been, in my opinion. And she's someone who's actually in rotation now, some of her classics and some of the recent releases. And how is that for a manager with someone that has so many lanes? Does it make your job easier, or is it does it always keep you charged? How does that work?
Oh, it keeps me charged. It keeps me crazy. She calls me the cyclone. And, you know, I can go from 0 to 100 real quick, but that's the type of energy that I have, because I love a good challenge. You know, like, for instance, today you can try to book an artist when they're old school classic artists. You have a newer generation now who haven't a clue who some of these artists are that are real performers, real singers, real talented. They are the branch of, you know, this industry out here. So if I call, if I call our promoter, would you like to book Melba Moore? And if you don't know her, then you at least have the decency to try to Google her or go online and, you know, research who she is before you say, well, she's not good enough, but because they like these, you know, the artists that out today, you got the Beyoncés and there's like the younger generation, but you got to forget the older generation. Those people put in the work. So if I'm calling to book, you know, even if you don't know the person, at least try to do the research on them, and then you realize what you have. And then you run into that a lot, because it's a younger generation that's running the family. But running the industry. But I notice now that at a lot of the shows that we do, it's the younger generation that's coming to her show because their parents listen to the music.
Right. Right.
You know, and a lot of their parents are gone now, so they feel melancholy. And they come out, we listen to your music every Saturday morning, we watch you on Soul Train, yada, 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 you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I also find the more younger generation that you samples, or if you find that you have someone who's a singer, then they will have the reference for the singer that came before them, you know.
Right, right.
And if we're going to use Beyonce as an example, when she sampled Frankie Beverly and Maze, there were quite a few that did not know who
Frankie
that was.
She
helped reintroduce Frankie Beverly and Maze to a younger audience. But it's important. What I find, and here, Jay, this is why I separate. What I find, and you may agree, you may disagree. What I find is that a lot of times it gets frustrating when you don't have to know your homework anymore in this business. And that's frustrating because if this is the business that you're in, it's important that you know the business of music,
right?
You know,
exactly.
And that includes the artist, you know, for simple things like when you think you hear something original and it's not being sued for the record because somebody else did it. You know what I mean? You got to know the business of music.
Exactly.
As a manager, Ron. Yes.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we agree 100% on that.
Okay.
You know, I have people who have contacted me and they say they're managers and they want their artists to be on the show. And I say, well, I've never heard of your artist. Send me some music and I'll Google them. And, you know, and I'll say, well, this sounds like Cameo. And I said, you know, like the music sounds like Cameo. Who's Cameo? I said, no, y'all can't be on my show. Nope, you have to listen to it. You have to learn it to earn it. And I know you had a follow-up for Ron, but I just wanted to read, because and also let people watching on Instagram and Facebook know that unfortunately we can't take any calls today, but if you are watching and you comment, I will relay your comments to the guests. So Simone, and that's Dr. Simone, she's a psychic and she's also an author. And you know, she would like to be in the television, maybe radio industry, I believe. And she says, right, they call themselves managers, PR people, agents, and really don't have the skills, caring, or connections to do it. So tired of running into these fake representatives. And that, you know, I managed someone for 3 months, a very talented young lady. And like I said, it was for three months, the end of that discussion. And I still love her to this day, but that was a lot of work. That was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Ulysses Carter says, you better speak about the truth of management out here for artists.
Mm-hmm.
Simone also says she loved Melba Moore in Pearly on Broadway.
Ah.
Okay. Pearly Victorious with Robert Gilliam?
Robert Gilliam.
I'm sorry, my bad. I can't read. Yeah. And Ulysses says, yes, Ron, it's out. It's about the artists and focus on them, not you. And that's so true. And I focused on that young lady, and it was good, but it was a lot of work.
I can say, interject with that. Well, like I say, some artists don't even know what a manager is, and you have some temperamental artists. Sometimes, you know, it's a two-way street.
And, mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, for instance, Melba has more experience than me, so basically I'm her student, and I don't mind being a student. I don't know everything. I don't want to ever think that I know everything, because your best teacher will teach you out there, and Melba and I will go back and forth. But remember, we always come to a common ground. I'll present, like for instance, if something comes through, I'll present it to her. She'll ask me, well, do you think I should take it? And I will, do you want to? No, I mean, she'll say, no, I'm asking you. She'll ask my opinion too.
Mm.
Not just say, well, I'm the artist, I'm taking it. You know, she'll never do
right.
that. And that's how you know that you're both on the same page. You have an artist and a manager must work together, not the manager working for himself and the artist working for themselves.
That's absolutely true, and I think that was one of the things that happened in the relationship that I was forming with the artist that I was managing. I was killing myself, and I didn't feel like the artist cared about the work I was doing the way I cared about the work the artist was doing, and that's a whole different situation, but... It is reciprocal. If you're loyal to someone, they ought to be loyal to you too. And in order to be a manager of an artist, you have to be really loyal and dedicated and focused on that artist, and their success is your success. So you have to go hard for them. But as an artist, you need to be appreciative. So like Ulysses said, yes, Ron, call it out. It's about the artist and focus on them, not on the manager, because some management think they are the stars. I come from the era of staying in my lane and bringing in the back, because when one win, we all win, exactly, which is how I feel about it. And Ulysses also agreed with you, Therese. And Simone said, yes, I had a fake publicist who was too busy trying to be the star. That all she did was steal money. What? Oh, no, we're not doing that. And pose for pictures of herself, made connections for herself, and bedded down with famous people. Well, that's interesting. Dang shame. Music has history, and artists today don't know their history, which is true. At least you did the work. Yes, I did the work, honey. I was working my 9-to-5 and was out all night long wee hours of the night. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. And so, Ron, you know, you have a professional who artist who knows the business, and you know, that she's also kind, and that makes a difference as well, I'm sure. Y'all still with me? Therese?
Yes. Hello?
Oh,
yes.
Okay, okay. I hear you now. I had lost you for a minute there.
Okay.
Hello?
You still there? Yes, I'm here. We're here.
Okay, so you were going to ask a question, Therese?
Well, I was... Ron has a, well, he just said something actually that that made me segue a bit, because he talked about the importance of relationships in his comment, you know, and I think that managers and their artists have to be in sync, and quite, and something Ulysses, because, you know, Ulysses is a family friend, and he is speaking and from a level of experience, because he's also part of the estate of Whitney Houston. So he has seen firsthand, you know, things, you know, in his line of work, as you have, Ron, and the relationship, understanding the artist, knowing what that is key. It's paramount to the success. And like you said, you were also a student too, which is a very, very gracious and humble way of addressing and working with someone, because it also says that you are learning as well as standing out there in the forefront and negotiating for you, you know, and you guys are on the same page, and there's a synchronicity that occurs when that happens, you know, in building the relationship. Because somebody like Melba Moore, like, she's been in the industry in a lot of different ways, and from record labels to you name it. So I'm pretty sure she is, you know, I'm positive that she can coach through any possible situation without having to be up front in her own affairs. Can you talk a little bit about some of the dynamics that you think managers need to have? Any manager or somebody looking to manage that's out there right now, what are some of the key factors that you think are necessary?
Well, the key factor is first knowing how to speak to people. That's that's the first key factor, because, and then I've heard some managers, and I won't mention artists' managers' names, that will get on the telephone and, I mean, you don't make demands. You make requirements. I'll make requirements. This is what's required. Okay, so we have to come to some type of common ground together. Well, if my artist is, this is what's in her rider, and what, you just tell me the thing that you can and what you can't. We'll have to, I have to say, well, okay, well, we can do it, you know, do without that. Do it. You'll have some artist managers, well, you know, and they'll just, it's, you know, you create a fight. You're supposed to create a warm atmosphere. That's number one. Number two, stay in your lane as a manager. Know what a manager is and what a manager does. I'm just here to be the voice for the artist, because an artist should never manage themselves, because people will try to take advantage, because that's the first thing you want to do with that. Well, okay, I'll go directly through the artist. No, you cannot go directly through the artist. You should be dealing directly with the manager. I'm here to work. I'm the voice for the artist. I'm the manager. Not that I'm that important. You know, I don't look at myself as that important. But Melba does. She says, "Oh, you're the key to the car." I said, "Okay, well, you're the car, and I'll be the key. I'll just, you know, that's the way, you know, that's the way she looks at things, you know." But I, like I say, I let the artists have be who they are. I can't get up there on the microphone and do what they do or get in front of the screen. I'll be the first one to run. That's not me. But I can handle business, know how to handle, you know, with how to do contracts. And what I don't know, I'll let the attorneys read it. If it's too big, or, you know, I'm not going to say, if they'll switch a line on you and you're signing something, you know, like, you know, I don't got the artist in trouble. I go over each and every line on a contract. You know, that's some of the input that I can put. And just remember that your artist is the one out there in the forefront. You know. Yes, I keep the business going, but I know my place, I know my limits, and I know where I stand at. And, you know, I don't mind being in the background, because that's where I'm more comfortable, you know. But then you have some men, like I've been managing Miss Moore for 16 years now, and I've seen some of the past managers that she had. And they were out there in the front like they were the stars. And I would see it.
Mm.
And, you know, but she needed a manager. So she said, you know, she's willing to give anybody a shot. But, you know, she had to, you know, she also had to let them go.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know,
16
and
years.
You have,
that's a long time, man. That means
right,
you're doing
obviously
a lot of things right.
Something is working, right. And I would have never, imagine myself managing, a Melba Moore. I was comfortable just being a booking agent. It just happened. It happened, you know, because maybe that's where I was supposed to be.
Right.
You know, and I enjoy doing it, even through the challenges, you know.
Right.
You know, I figured out and I've learned the system and how to work around it. You know, what I can get, I eventually end up getting. What I say no to, I mean no to. It's like, I'm not going to have them demean an artist of her caliber. You know, some artists have to start off, you know, if you're new, sometimes you're not going to get what you think you're worth. You know, you have to take this until you build your reputation up, build your portfolio up. Then you can demand and get what you want. But until then, you're not going to get it. You know, you just can't. Like, I have to say this. The new artists today, what the old school artists were, the artists that come up today, they'll get paid 10 times more than what an old school artist would get paid. And I have to say it, half of them don't have as much talent as I had in my pinky finger. But they get the work, they get the job done. And I'm not bashing the newer generation, but it's like, it's more, everything is show, show, show. But basically, how long are you going to last in this business? Are you going to be in this business 53 years like a Melba Moore or a Dionne Warwick or a Patti LaBelle? It's more about longevity and substance than just coming in, oh, I'm making money, I'm making dough, da, 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 you know, flossing on Instagram and everywhere. No, because eventually you're going to fail. You're going to fall. And half of them can't handle some of the stuff that those artists from back in the days went through, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And then you have to have somebody, a buffer, who's going to keep all those elements away from you. You know, today everybody's a manager, everybody's a this, everybody's a that, you know. But like I say, everybody had to start from somewhere, you know.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, my mentor-to-be is Berry Gordy. You know, I've heard, you know, people have said things about Berry Gordy, but that's who I mentor myself behind. Because he was a business person, and people mix business up with friendships. Oh, Barry did this, Barry did that. No, this is a business. I have three girls here on stage. One is not acting right. Okay, I let one go. Oh, I'm going to be the bad guy. So I have to be able to be strong enough to take the brunt of that, because it's my business.
Right. Right.
You know, everybody, you have to have tough skin in this business. Everybody doesn't have tough skin. The only thing they want to do is fight, pull out a gun and fight. No, you have to go through your feelings, go through it, and you have to come back to the table on another day and try to work it out, because that's business. I mean, show business is supposed to be fun. You know, it's really supposed to be fun. You know, as long as they have the contracts are signed and the deposit is there and the money's there before I get off, before 45 minutes before the showtime. Hey, listen, we're going to have a ball.
Can you, you just said something very important.
Mm-hmm.
Could you repeat that, please?
Oh, I said, make sure that contract is signed. I have my deposit and I have the balance of my money 45 minutes prior to the show starting.
Okay, and that's something, thank you for that, and that's something that Javon always references when people
they think I'm being tough or being mean. No, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the show.
Right,
that's
exactly.
It.
You know, I'm here, I'm not running away.
Have your ducks in a row.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have a contract, I'm here. You know, you have a house full of people, you should have the money.
Right.
There
and
you
not
go.
To mention, I say like this: if your money requires you to have a house full of people, then that means you weren't prepared in the beginning, because you have to have a budget to get what you want to be able to fill the house. It's not the other way around. Your artists are not
in situations where they've had the deposit. I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
something because I'm sorry. That's the song I'm always singing. I apologize for that, but I had to clap.
That's okay.
Yeah. A lot of folks will call to book artists and won't have the money, can't afford them. Technically.
Right, well then you shouldn't be calling.
Exactly.
Right. You can't depend on
waste of time and energy. And artists, you know, they have schedules too. But a lot of people don't understand that, and then they don't want to wonder why you get upset with them. Now, I don't want to hear about what we're going to do. Do you have a date? Do you have a deposit? Are you ready to do the contract? It's just cut and dry and that simple.
Right.
You know, I'll get back to you. You know, you're calling me, taking up my time, finding out what the fee is, and now you might have scared you away with the fee. Well, let's negotiate.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that I had to learn, Ron, because I at one time fancied myself a promoter or show producer. I always like the term producer instead as opposed to promoter, but I guess it's all the same. And
well, the producer is the one with the money. The promoter is the one out to promote the show for the producer.
Well, right. I was doing both, so I guess there you go. But if I got a price that was out of my range, I would just seek other artists. I wouldn't go back and try to negotiate. And that was for me because I never want to try to lowball somebody just because I can't afford it. You know, like I always assume that people are shooting from the hip and that they are asking for what they feel they are worth. And I get that. And if I can't afford it, I just, you know, I'm not going to try to lowball you. However, I've come to understand that, you know, people do ask for what they believe that their clients are worth, but they may be willing to negotiate with you. And they may be able and willing to work with you for what it is that you can afford.
And then that's the way a lot of people should work too. But so you have some people who won't work the way, because if you came to me and say, well, this is the budget, it's up to me to take it back to my artist and say, well, this is what the budget is. What is the venue? What's the purpose of the, you know, is it for a nonprofit organization? Is it for a charity? Then you do it. It could be a new and upcoming promoter who may need a name to help build their, you know, we do that type of stuff. We don't, you know, as long as you are fair with us, we don't care. Well, you said this is your first time promoting the show. Well, guess what? You have a name behind you. Let's work together. And I'll even help them promote the event. And I've done that on many occasions, too.
That's what's up. You know? Well, when we start doing our shows, Therese, you know, well, Auntie Melba, we you know, she's got to be she's got to be on the roster there anyway, so we have to.
Let me say something. I'm gonna let me tell my story too. I am going to project this into fruition, and there are some things that I want to talk to Ron about. Period. In this new decade coming, so you know, and I believe in being prepared too. So I just want to put that out there now, Ron. We will be
I received.
Yep, we'll be giving you there's some artists in my, you know, professional opinion, and my background is theater. You know, started off as a stage manager, and later went into a production stage manager, produced a few shows, and have managed designers, not singers. But say that to say that, you know, there is a certain preparation, and I guess I could be considered old school in my business fundamentals, you know, but where that's concerned, you know, I understand the art of negotiation. I also understand that putting something in position, you know, I think that artists, and I don't particularly care for the term old school, you know, I do like, because, you know, like, for example, I just went to a Cher concert, and she sold out basically Madison Square Garden.
Oh yeah, she was just at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, she was, and did an amazing show at 73 years old. That rivaled some of the ones that I've seen. I've been to Chris Brown, from Chris Brown to Cher. So I just, you know, my range is broad. You know, I'd like to say, and you know, to see that, I was almost in tears, because one, it's like, you know, she's an icon. separate from that, I think that, you know, positioning is key in a lot of things that you see. So you may not have the, like, I may not have the budget, let's just say, but I'm going to present it because it is Noble Moore singing at this place, you know, where she could be surrounded by artists that are not in her generation, but she would still stand out as the legend. You know what I mean? So, but I don't make that call. I got to let Ron make that call. You know what I mean? I'm going to pitch it to him and say, this is where I think, this is what I think, this is where my vision is. And the manager has the wherewithal to listen to it all and give them as much information as possible to make a great decision, you know, or a decision that even if they're going to turn it down, they turn it down with all the information. You know what I mean? Because it's important, you know, like sometimes you'll get calls, or I'll put it like this. I hate when someone, you know, and everybody knows Monique is my wife. I hate when someone will reach out to me, you know, and I'm not her manager, but people reach out to me asking me, you know, and when I start asking them questions, it gets very, well, don't come to me because I'm the wife, you know, you think, you know, don't do that.
Well, I would refer them to management.
And honestly, that may be the worst route unless you know me. And I'm speaking for people that don't necessarily know me. That may be the worst route you can take because, quite frankly, I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to present it unless I understand it.
And it makes sense.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, well, you know what? I'll give you, refer you to this place to go. But if you're sounding crazy to me, I'm already going to tell you, you need to do X, Y, and Z, sweetheart. You know, and it, you know, I'm not even going to let it pass me. So, as a manager.
And those type of people don't realize that they can damage you, you know. And then who's going to take the blame? Monifa. If something doesn't go right at the event or anything, you know, doesn't sell tickets, you know. It's like, you know, the people who actually come to present you something, they got to have their ducks in order.
It's good
to have a dream and a plan, but you know, now when we're going to execute it, things got to be, it has to be correct. And not that I'm demanding, but I ask questions. If you don't ask questions, you'll find out the hard way. You know, you must ask questions. You know, okay, you're a promoter. Well, what shows have you promoted? You know, what artists have you promoted? You know, if I can't Google you and you know, nothing comes up on you, what, you haven't done anything. Everybody's on a Google. You know, when you do, when you've done something.
And it's important to know for, you know, the promoters and whoever else is, it's important to know that artists also talk, you know. It's important for promoters to know that you may be referenced, you know, for your business, you know, etiquette by artists that know each other. You know, have you ever worked with them before?
I'll let you know what the experience was like, too, with that promoter. You know, the same way promoters will talk about, well, what I paid this artist, that artist, you know.
And hopefully it goes the same way with the podcasting business. If artists enjoy the show, I'm hoping and praying that they're letting their other artist friends know, you know, that that this is a great show that they can call into, and we'll celebrate them, and it should be an enjoyable experience, you know. Has to be word of mouth, and the same goes for those of you listening. If you enjoy the show, if you're watching the show, please share it with someone. So, as you guys know, today we're having a little bit of technical mishap, and probably since the interview is so wonderful, as Simone just typed, what a great show, and Ulysses has been agreeing with you on everything and dropped this jewel. Yep, remember, Ron, Aretha would not leave her dressing room until she had the money and then took the stage with her cash in her purse on stand.
Listen,
and
I can tell you some stories about Aretha, and we've worked for Aretha many times, and Aretha was a straight up from the street, from the hip. At possible, always full of money. I can talk about it now, Angie. When she took care of business, she took care of business. But I would have to laugh at it because one time I was so nervous. We did I think it was a Christmas party. No, it was her birthday party. And her bodyguards were there. It was hilarious. And I'm like, she like, well, where y'all going? She and me and her, Aretha took me in the room with her and told her bodyguards to wait outside. She threw that pocketbook on, opened that pocketbook up and with no makeup, wasn't nothing but bills, and told me to count it. I was shaking. I love Aretha. You know, I mean, like the queen of soul, and she was so down to earth. She said, "You mind if I take off my shoes?" I said, "You can take off whatever you want to take off." And when she gave me the receipt, she wrote the receipt on a piece of tissue, and I won't tell you where she put it at the end. I was like, "That's old school."
Wow.
Yeah, but Aretha did not play when it came to money, so that was another mentor.
Yeah.
You know, it's about business. Get your money. You know,
yes.
It's not about fighting. We don't have to fight. If we got to fight for our money, then we shouldn't be doing the show together.
Right.
That's for any artist. I don't care because you know it's a business.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Don't come at me when it's, yes.
I'm sorry, darling. It is 10 minutes after 12, I believe.
Oh, we have to. I think our next guest is coming on.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have to, unfortunately, the way we planned on doing the show, we can't do it that way where you're on and she's on and we have to actually call her. So,
okay. So
we're going to
give her. I don't mind taking the back seat today for Ms. Shirley Jones.
Oh, my God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Dance Turned Into a Romance because that's my favorite. And then Therese is going to try to contact Ms. Jones. But I really want to thank you so much again for coming on to the show. And you know, you have so much knowledge and whatnot. We're going to have you back on again because we didn't even start hitting the stories that I wanted you to tell. I didn't even know that you worked with Aretha Franklin and so many others, you know, so we definitely have to get more details from you, Ron.
Okay, I'll be glad to come back at a later date.
Oh, I'm so excited about that.
And thank you for having me, and I want you ladies to have a blessed and a happy holiday.
Thank
we
you.
Love
we
you.
Have Christmas, we have Christmas coming up, and I don't know if I'll speak to you before then, but if I don't, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Ron. You too. All right, Rez.
Okay, and
thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, and have a great day.
Bye.
We dance and dance till we fail.